just don't worship him just today. We worship him all the time.
Amen.
It's a 24/7 thing. Just worship Christ.
Amen.
Oh, good to be back. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house. Joy in the house. Salvation in the house. Healing in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. In the name of the Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, this day for this. Your goodness to us, for these exceeding great and precious promises which we receive into our lives. We thank you for this congregation and this assembly this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation knowledge and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer, that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us. In Jesus' name, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where are we at in the book of Acts here?
I stopped on the 15th chapter. I got maybe the third verse, 15th chapter.
15:3. All right, I'm going to... Where are you at, brother? Are you that far?
I'm almost at chapter 12.
Almost at chapter 12. Well, all right. Well, I'll start right in between you all then. I'll catch up. But I'm going to go back to chapter 13. Where we were talking about where Paul and Barnabas were just set forth as apostles in the office of the apostle, and they went out and began to minister in that capacity for the first time. Let's start there in verse 4. So they, that is Paul and Barnabas, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now this is where'd they leave from? Antioch, remember?
Yep.
Antioch. That was Paul's home church. That was Barnabas' home church. That was Antioch in Syria. Now they're fixing to go to another Antioch, and that's not the same Antioch. There were about 16 towns in the Roman world called Antioch. About 16. But Paul's home church, Antioch of Syria, that's where they set them forth as apostles. That was where the disciples were called Christians first. That's the Antioch where they were called Christians first. And that's where they sailed out. That's where they began their first missionary journey, was from there. Now they're going to go to another Antioch, and we'll see that here in a few verses. It's a whole different place. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. When they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was called Paul, this is the first time we hear him called Paul. He's in a new office. He's operating in a new office, so now he's got a new name. Mm-hmm. As we saw that before, he was operating in the office of the teacher and the prophet. Now he's operating in the office of the apostle also. And of course, he still has the office of teacher and prophet, because the gifts of the calling of God are without repentance. So he's still a teacher and a prophet, but now he's also operating as an apostle. So we can see that you can stand in more than one of the fivefold ministries at the same time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can operate in more than one of these offices.
Yep.
At the same time. Now, this is interesting. And Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?
Whoa.
And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist in the darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand.
Yeah.
Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So this is the first recorded miracle that Paul has done. This is the first. Now, and you know, that's not to say that's absolutely the first miracle that was done by him, but this is certainly the first recorded miracle, and it's interesting that his first recorded miracle is a miracle of judgment.
Wow.
It's a miracle of judgment. So, you know, miracles, we a lot of times refer to healings as a miracle, but technically they're not. Miracles, healings are not miracles. They're in a class by themselves. The working of miracles is a separate gift. You see, you have gifts of healings, and then you have gifts of the working of miracles. They're separate gifts. So of the nine gifts of the Spirit, miracles is one gift and healings is another. So healings are not technically miracles. And miracles are not healings. So what we got here is a miracle and not a healing. Because this gentleman was not healed. This gentleman was struck blind.
Yeah.
So this is a miracle. And and of course, miracles, what are miracles? What's the purpose of a miracle? It's like a neon sign. It's like a flashing neon sign. It says, look over here. This is where God is. You know, this is the hand of God right here. That's what miracles are for. And basically, they're for the unsaved. Because Christians don't need miracles. We know where the hand of God is. We know where the Lord is. We don't need miracles to show us where the Lord is. The unsaved need miracles to show them where the Lord is. The church doesn't need miracles to show us where the Lord is. We know where He is. Mm-hmm. The church needs to be able to work miracles to show the unsaved where the Lord is. But the church doesn't need miracles. Yes, sister.
You think this particular miracle has anything to do with the first miracle that he had experienced?
You know, that's a good question, and it's a really good question.
So say it again.
That's a very good observation. Because remember,
do you think this particular miracle has anything to do with the first miracle that he had experienced?
That was a miracle. He experienced a miracle of judgment himself. And it got his attention. You know, I mean, if you all of a sudden struck blind, that sort of gets your attention, right? and Paul, it got his attention.
It certainly did. But his response was a lot different than this man. This man had other things. When it happened to him, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He was just doing things wrongly because he thought he was doing them right.
Yeah.
He thought he was doing work. But this man was a false.
I think what you say is probably true, because what Paul remembered. Paul remembered what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Paul called this down on him. I mean, it was Paul that said, you know, you shall be blind for a season, you know, just like I was.
Yep.
Maybe it'll teach you something, you know.
Not permanent, but for a season.
Not permanent, no, that's right. He didn't say you're going to be blind till you die or anything like that. He said for a season.
Amen.
And I think probably it did have something to do with Paul's experience.
That's good.
This is the first recorded miracle of Paul. It was a miracle of judgment, and this guy needed a good swift kick.
Yeah.
This gentleman needed a good swift kick, and that's what he got. And it also put him out of commission because, you know, he was trying to hurt and hinder the gospel and to put him completely out of commission.
Come on now.
Took him out of the way, got him out of the way. These are some of the things, you know, of course, we're reminded of Ananias and Sapphira. That was a miracle.
Yeah.
It was a miracle. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira was a miracle. And it worked to the good of the church. The Bible said that great fear fell on all the church, on the whole church. Mm-hmm. When they saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, the church sat up and took notice. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, it is a shame that miracles sometimes that we need, that the church needs miracles for us to sit up and take notice. We shouldn't need miracles because we know where God is. We ought to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, and you know. But once in a while, of course, you know, we get off the dark train, jumps the track every once in a while, and that's what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. The church got off a little bit there, and it helped. The miracle helped get them back on the track. And but anyhow, so this guy. It got him out of the way, and we don't know what happened to this guy. This guy may have gotten saved. We don't know what happened to him. I mean, you know, it doesn't say anything more about him. We can only speculate about what may have happened to him after this event. But anyhow, when the deputy saw this, he was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Now, when Paul and his company were loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, we know that a little bit later on, this really got under Paul's skin. This really ticked Paul off. When John returned to Jerusalem, he left them and returned to Jerusalem. He would not go with them to the work. And Paul said, you know, when it came time for them to go out again, Barnabas, who was John Mark's uncle, said, well, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, I ain't going to take that guy. He wouldn't go with us the last time we took him, and I ain't taking him. And Barnabas said, yes, we are. Paul said, no, I'm not. So they couldn't even travel together. So they split up, and Barnabas took John, and Paul took Silas. They couldn't, it split those two up. So, but this is the incident where John Mark departed from them and would not go with him to the work, and it made Paul so angry that he would not take him again.
But, you know, Barnabas, he had a gift of taking people that nobody else wanted, because he took Paul when nobody else really wanted Paul.
Yeah, that's true.
And partnered with him.
That's true.
And he would take people that nobody really gave. He saw things in people that other people just didn't see at the moment. And he knew what, if I took him and just kind of trained him a little bit more and worked with him a little bit more, he's going to be better. Because Paul did say, hey, now send me John Mark.
That's right. Eventually, years later, we see that Paul changed his mind about Mark. And send me John Mark. He said, send me John Mark, for he is profitable to me.
But who helped him to get
it? It was Barnabas, of course. Yes, it was Barnabas. So one has to think, well, you know, Paul was a little bit too straight-laced about this whole business. You know, he was a little bit, you know.
But he should have. Paul knew where he was going. He couldn't have nobody running out on him. What if Silas had a rent out on him because he
yeah,
was going
well,
to
that's
go
the,
by jail? Paul
that's the
knew
reason.
What he was going to encounter.
That's the
he
reason.
He needed somebody. And we all should know who we really need to be.
But, you know, if he'd have taken John Mark, John would probably worked out all right this time.
I don't know.
Because, you know, like you said just a minute ago, John Mark got himself straightened out, and Paul said eventually, yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah, because Barnabas stayed with
that's
him.
That's right.
See,
that's right.
The things that Paul knew he was going to encounter, he couldn't have just know anybody with him. He knew his ministry required somebody to.
So who was right, Paul or Barnabas?
They both was right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They both was right. He didn't need John Mark with him because he wasn't mature enough right then. And Barnabas right because he was going to help mature John Mark. He was going to help him bring him up to the park where he really needed to be.
Well, at any rate, they had a, it was the cause of a great division between Paul and Barnabas. Now, you know, and we, you know, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas had a great ministry together.
Yes, they did.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord.
Amen.
And so, undoubtedly, Barnabas and John Mark went off one direction and did some great things, and Paul and Silas went another direction and did great things. So it all worked together to the good to them that love the Lord.
Yes, it did.
But one has to think that maybe, you know, if Paul had been a little bit more patient with John Mark, he and Barnabas would not have had to split up. But again, you know, that's all, it all worked together.
Some people come into, this is what we're going to have to learn from that. Some people come into our life for seasons. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go all the way with you. They're there for a season. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe, like our brother here believed, that Paul could have just kind of, but that wasn't just Paul. Paul wasn't that kind of person.
He wasn't that kind of a guy. No, he wasn't.
He was just, and we have to realize all of us are different, and we know who we can deal with. When Paul knew he was going to go out there, and some devil was going to really be after him. He couldn't have nobody to run out on him. He needed that help. And we all need help. And we better know who we're taking with us. And you know, John Mark was not ready for the journey that he was going
on. You might say John Mark was not ready for prime time.
But he got there.
He did get there, yes, he did.
Paul what now?
Felt guilty about not going with John Mark. I mean, not allowing John Mark to go with him. And eventually, you know, he, you know, sent for him.
Well, he sent for him because he was profitable. He had grew up. He was a little bit more mature, you know, than what he was when Barnabas wanted to take. Barnabas took him and took him places and matured him and showed him things and worked with him. But Paul didn't have time to work with people. Paul was sent to the he knew his mission, and he didn't have time to disciple John Mark. But Barnabas was a different character. He could disciple people. He could put up with their little, you know, he could work with them, you know. Some people just can't work with people when they don't have it.
Now, this is the John Mark, you know, that's supposed to have written the book of Mark. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that's supposed to have written the book of Mark. So, This is a pretty important Bible character.
He is.
Pretty important biblical character, it turns out. And I think you got a good point there, that I can safely say that Paul at least changed his opinion of Mark. Now, whether he felt like I don't know whether he felt like he made a mistake or not, but I do believe that Paul said, okay, now, you know, he's proven himself.
He's profitable.
He has proven himself after all, and yeah, you know, we've got to put him to work, because he's a good boy and he can do a good job. So that's the thing. Everything worked out the good. Everything worked out to John Mark's good. I don't know what John Mark was doing. Maybe he went back to Jerusalem and wrote the book of Mark. I don't know what he was doing there. But anyhow, it all worked out for good. Praise the Lord. You know, supposedly, the scholars tell us that they believe John Mark wrote the book of Mark because as dictated to him by Peter. That Peter told him about, you know, what had happened, and John Mark wrote it down. So that's could be, obviously John Mark was not one of Jesus' apostles.
He was.
So somebody had to tell him these things, and so they tell us that it was Peter who dictated, you know, John Mark's book. So it's actually the words of Peter as written down by John Mark. But anyway, this is that John Mark. History tells us, or tradition tells us, that that Paul and Barnabas fell out over. When John Mark decided, I'm going back home. I've had enough of this. I'm not ready for this. I'm going home.
Okay. Right after that, picture John Mark and Paul in jail.
Instead of Paul and Silas, John Mark.
You got no It would, I don't think it would have turned out like.
It might not have turned out that same way.
I don't think it would have.
One thing, you know, it might be helpful to us is to remember that later on in life, when Paul was back in Jerusalem and he was under arrest, his life depended on a young man, the same kind of youth that he couldn't trust in his ministry.
Yeah.
Suddenly, he's got to depend on his nephew to deliver a message and save his life, basically. You know, he was in prison, and the nephew came and had heard something, overheard something, that the Jews were plotting against Paul, was going to kill him. And so he came and told Paul, mm-hmm. and Paul says, you go and tell the warden, basically, you know,
right.
the Roman official in charge, and you go tell him what you told me. And Paul was totally dependent on him doing that and doing it well enough that he changed his plans, and what it did was save Paul's life. Mm-hmm. So, but Paul, he may not have trusted John Mark early on, but he had to trust a youth later, you know, when he was older. And so yeah. It's kind of interesting.
Well, youth is good. Youth is, youth is good, but youth is oftentimes a little bit impetuous, you know. That's the thing, you know. Young folks can be impetuous, you know, and get a crazy idea. They got a lot of crazy ideas. Of course, old folks got crazy ideas too sometimes. But anyway, let me read a couple more verses of scripture, and then I got to move on. All right. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, so here we got a different Antioch. Now, this is a different Antioch. The first Antioch, it was in Syria, and it was on the coast or near the coast of the Mediterranean. But this Antioch is up in the mountains of Turkey, and it's about 200 or so miles from the other Antioch. So now we're going to see Paul. This takes up nearly a whole chapter here. For Paul delivers one of his most famous sermons in this Antioch of Pisidia, and is one of the most important sermons in the New Testament, or in the Book of Acts at least. And we'll get into that next time. But anyhow, so we've got Paul out of Antioch, and we got him to Antioch. So Paul leaves Antioch and he goes to Antioch.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to leave him for today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.